Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
306 DGS. I got a couple of dumb ones for you. I see it. Okay. It's not completely new to me. But today, for the first time, I realized that it's PetSmart instead of PetSmart.
Well, I think that's the genius, right? Is that it could be either.
You think so?
I think it works both ways.
You're saying it's PetSmart. A PetSmart.
Yes.
And not PetSmart.
Yes.
I think it can be either.
And I've always thought it was PetSmart.
I think it's interchangeable. I think you can weave the narrative however you choose.
It is genius, then.
If you want it to be the smart place for pets, it's PetSmart. If you want it to be the store where you get pet stuff, it's PetSmart. I mean, it's
he's making some sense.
It's genius. I've always thought that. Because, I mean, obviously, Petco has Petco, where the pets go, which is fantastic. That itself is also great. But it doesn't have the versatility that PetSmart has. I think about this all the time.
I don't think it has that much versatility, actually, because I'm looking at the PetSmart website, and it's pet in red and smart in blue.
Then I'm right.
That's pretty evenly, I mean, that's pretty cut and dry there, like pet smart.
Then I'm wrong and I'm right, because I thought I was wrong about pets. Pet smart.
They're leaving some fun on the table is all I can say.
Well, probably for copywriting purposes, they had to draw a line in the sand at some point, you know?
Okay. Then maybe this next one's not so stupid. So every day I charge my phone, and at some point around 3 o'clock, it gets to 100%, and I give it to Andrew, and he charges his phone, because we just don't have the wherewithal to buy two. If I were to keep it plugged in, I know it's not going to dip below 100, but it's not adding any more charge.
No. It's
100's 100.
And there is data to suggest, now I've never really put in too much stock into this. I said I've never put in stock.
Yeah, we all heard it.
I didn't know if you guys heard that or not.
It sort of belays your next point.
It sure does, about the data that I've been putting. But you are not supposed to overcharge your phone.
Really?
It can be bad for the battery to over... Like, for example, every night when I go to bed, every night for as long as I can remember, I plug my phone in and it charges to full when I go to sleep, no matter what the charge is. They say you are not supposed to do that. They say that is bad for the battery to let it charge at full all night long. You should do more what I think my friend Rachel does, where you just sort of let it get close to dead, then you charge it to full. Then you run it out.
Seem like you're putting a little hit on you there.
No, I'm not at all. I feel like I remembered Rachel saying that she's done that before and doesn't, like, charge her phone overnight to full every night.
I have started charging it overnight.
Okay.
And typically I don't have to charge it during the day, but I do have my phone's only like a year and a half old, too. I think the older your phone is, the worse it is to... And also, I will say, because I have heard that too, Andrew, that you're not supposed to leave it on there for like 9 hours at a time. If I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I roll over and unplug the phone, because it's already at 100 by that point.
Mm-hmm. That is smart. That is a good idea. I should do that, too.
PetSmart.
Is it PetSmart or PetSmart?
I guess it's PetSmart. I guess. I don't know.
You thought you had something on that one.
I did. Yeah. I think about this all the time.
And here came Rach with her research.
I just looked it up just real quick, and it had
that was
it
a
two
wheeler.
Different colors.
You pulled
a
wheeler.
I was like, actually.
He'd have a pull on that out already.
She defeated me with logic.
Razor's Edge?
Yeah. Okay. I want to talk about this article I saw in Time. Actually, I saw it on the internet, but it was published in Time, I suppose, by Jeffrey Sonnenfeld. The title of the article is Watch Out, America's Left and Right Extremes Are Coming Together. And he basically talks about the fact that, you know, Trump has all these new cabinet picks like RFK Jr., who is not just being celebrated on the right. He's also being celebrated by people on the left. For instance, Cory Booker stated he shared many of RFK Jr.'s accusations over, quote, corporations feeding us unhealthy products while flooding us with dangerous chemicals. Bringing up Tulsi Gabbard, she's been defended by people on the left, like Senator Bernie Sanders. A lot of people say that Tulsi Gabbard is a Russian asset. But Bernie says Tulsi has put her life on the line to defend this country. People can disagree on issues, but it's outrageous for anyone to suggest that Tulsi is a foreign asset. Bernie also attacked Democrats recently, which I talked about on the show last week, for not going on Joe Rogan's podcast. Mm-hmm. Joe Rogan's a libertarian.
I agree with you. I think you're saying it. Well, here's what I would say. Tulsi Gabbard, I do not believe, has earned the right to be the director of intelligence. She has earned better than being called a Russian asset. You know, she served our country in Congress. She served our country in the military. Unless Debbie Wasserman Schultz and those who are parroting her have actual evidence, they should just shut their pie hole. Now, that being said, I don't think she has anywhere near the experience. I don't think Pete Hegseth has anywhere near the experience. I'm old school. I think that if you're going to run the Department of Defense, you should have been in the Department of Defense pretty much your whole life. You should be a four-star general. You should be a former XYZ. And if you are going to run the intelligence community, you should at least have worked a day in intelligence. I think that's fair.
Yeah. Do you think it's fair to go after Tulsi for that? Because she didn't nominate herself. I mean,
she's the nominee.
I guess she could have said, like, oh, absolutely not. I don't deserve this position.
No, I don't think it's going after. I think it's simply she's not qualified.
Yeah.
She's just not qualified. Neither is Hegseth. Probably very few are. And in the past, in the boring years, which I loved and lament, everyone was qualified and everyone got through, but they were just boring as hell. Mm. Now they're exciting and it's a fight on every one of them, but very few of them are actually, in my opinion, you could disagree. And I think if you do disagree, you probably actually agree. No one thinks that Pete Hegseth is qualified. They want him because he's not qualified. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they want a disruptor.
Yes, they want a disruptor. They want to just tear the whole system down. If that's what you want, then he's a perfect guy.
I remember reading shortly after he was nominated and people in Trump's camp were like, hey, I don't know about this guy. He doesn't have any of the qualifications. I don't know if he'd do a good job. And Trump was like, yeah, but he looks the part. He looks like a guy who would have that job. And that's why I want to give it to him.
Mm.
So back to this article here from Time. I wanted to read this little excerpt here because this is really the part that interested me. So I just gave a couple examples of the left and the right agreeing on things and saying, like, hey, back off when we're talking about this person. But Jeffrey Sonnenfeld went on to write this. Political leaders and journalists must acknowledge the deep history of populist anger embedded in American society. Some is anchored in a class identity battle, resenting elitist institutions and income disparity leading to widespread feelings of injustice. Some is anchored in fear of technological change. Some is anchored in fear of demographic shifts in the nation's racial, ethnic, and religious mix. And some is in the cultural resentment that historian Richard Hofstadter in 1966 labeled the anti-intellectual tradition in American life. Regardless of the legitimacy of the sources of this populist anger, it is real, it is deep, and it is not defined by political party, let alone the language of left-wing or right-wing ideologies, despite commentators' efforts to do so. We must know it is quite combustible, easily triggered by charismatic demagoguery, as well as frightening global and domestic shocks.
Yeah, I think you can distill that very lofty thing that he wrote and just say, when people are having real trouble making ends meet, and you're talking about transgendered illegal alien prisoners, you're going to lose. Going to lose. Even if Donald Trump is your nominee. Because, one, people don't care that much about the latter, and people care very much about the former, and just the juxtaposition between those two, I see it, and I'm far from a MAGA conservative, but I see why that's attractive or unattractive.
Yeah, it's just interesting to me that populism is rising on both sides of the mm-hmm. aisle, and it's kind of horseshoeing into this singular thing. I mean, I'm not one of those people who are like, it's the same. Being extremely left and extremely right is always the same thing. I think that's kind of nonsense. But you do see how it overlaps whenever it feels like the middle or whatever is pushing people to that.
Yeah. Maybe people are pushing toward the middle on both sides.
Maybe. I don't know. You see, like, right after the election, Andrew was saying on the air, like, he felt like the Democrats needed to move farther left.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen many, many Democrat talking heads on, like, PBS NewsHour and CNN and all these places saying the opposite, that we need to run towards the center. I don't really see anyone on the right calling for anyone to run towards the center. Maybe J.D. Vance in the debate whenever he was talking about abortion. And I mean, he actually had a couple of things that he said that made me feel like, oh, maybe he's not quite as far right as I've been led to believe. But I don't know. It feels like there's a major vibe shift going on. I just don't know what that vibe is.
I think people, one of my contributions is I think people are, you know, when you're really throw up sick and someone who's like, hey, you want some yogurt? And you're just like, ugh. I think that's how people are about BS. I think that people on both sides are really, really sick of people aiming the ball. It's like I said yesterday, that thinking a politician truly cares about you is like thinking the stripper's going to take you home. I think that people are just getting really sick of that. And so I think that they're gravitating toward, in their mind, whatever is most real and most stripped down and raw. And Trump's very raw.
So you're saying he obviously just won the election, but you think more and more people are gravitating towards Trump?
I think more and more people are gravitating away from BS. Mm-hmm. And I think Trump is full up to his eyeballs with BS. But if you watch him more casually, or if that is your normal wheelhouse, if you're Mark Cox and that those are the things that you believe, then you're very attracted to him. And if those aren't the things you believe, but you're watching casually, I think that watching his campaign and watching Kamala's campaign, hers was a much more traditional campaign, but I think that that's kind of death right now. It's just my own humble opinion, but I think that things that feel like politics are on the outs. Feeling kind of introspective today, a little existential. I've said things like this before, but I'm going to say them again. If a wizard came down and said, You're going to live again, you're not going to remember any of this, but you can kind of set your life up a little more the way you want, as far as like character and such, convince me I'm wrong. I feel like I'm, based on what I have observed in my 60 years, I might choose to be a complete a-hole. I'm many things that are negative. I've done many things wrong. But I'm not an a-hole. I think you guys would agree. I'm kind of the opposite of an a-hole. I'm a little too nice and too much of a people pleaser. And I go to bed with stress and I wake up with stress and worrying about things. Of all the a-holes I know, and a couple are friends, most of them are just people I run into, it's my intuition that they sleep like babies. They don't know that we don't like them, or they don't care that we don't like them. I recently had a business dealing and I was the client with an a-hole. There was just a jerk every step of the way. And I could tell, because I was pushing back at some point, I could tell, oh, he doesn't know. He just thinks he's killing it. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
You ever have thoughts like that?
Yeah, but it doesn't, I don't wish I was more like that.
Now, let me stop you there. I understand why. But if I could guarantee you that you're never bothered by anything or never stressed out or you never think that people dislike you, wouldn't you want to take it?
Honestly, probably not. Because I have this brain now and this brain is saying, like, I don't want to be that person. Even if I technically felt better all the time, even if I could get rid of all my...
You wouldn't want to do that much damage.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Because there are plenty of things. I see people in media who just, they just talk. Like, they don't, there's nothing behind what they're saying, and they can just let it rip. And I'm like, hey, good for you. I think I'm capable of doing that. I think I've been that person in the past, but it's not what I want to do. Like, in this life, we only have one life. I know in this case, we have a wizard giving us a second life. But even if we only had two precious lives, I don't think I would want to go down that path.
Interesting.
Which is funny, because there might be a couple people listening going like, you are that person. You are, you know, because we're all the villain in somebody's story.
Sure. Yeah. 100%.
But you know what I'm saying?
I definitely think there are people who are able to not care that they are, like, you know what I mean? The people who are like, I'm getting mine. I'm getting in my way. That's you know.
And that seems to be what it revolves around.
We look at
getting your way.
Yeah. We look at our one or, you know, two, if we're blessed with a wizard, precious lives. And some people say, I have but one life to live. I don't want to live it as someone disliked. I don't want to live it as a jerk. I don't want to live it as somebody that people are... I want to live it being kind to people. And then I think there are other people who...
So it's the price you pay for not being an a-hole.
Yeah, and I think the people who are the a-holes aren't necessarily like, I can't wait to ruin someone's day. I think they're more like, this world is hard and unkind, and I'm going to get it my way. And whatever you think about me getting in my way, that's, I don't really care, because I'm getting what I want. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to think, at least, that there's nothing, you know, cruel or malicious behind it. And it's more just like, yeah, sorry if you have to think I'm a jerk. For
yeah, I think people like that think that people like us are suckers.
Yeah.
And schmucks.
Yes, I think that is a definite possibility.
Is that song about what I think it's about?
I'm not sure what that song's about.
Okay. I think it's about bad stuff.
Oh. Should we ban it from the show?
No, that's the way I've always taken it.
I'll look up the lyrics.
Yeah, see what you can do, a little research on that one. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
So, boy, what a transitional day this is, huh?
Yes. You know, it's starting the winter out of the Northwest. Big deal here. We've had a cold front pass. That's number one this week.
Mm-hmm.
Number two comes through Wednesday night. Number three comes through on Saturday. And by the time we get, and we've been talking about this for 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
on how this was going to flip. And a lot of it had to do with the late hurricane season. And by the time we hit Friday, let's just throw Friday in. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday. It is going to be mid-January type cold.
Phew. Wow.
Get your head wrapped around that.
Yeah, that's tough.
That is.
That's not what we want to hear, Dave.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, then I'll make it's going to be 70 degrees and lovely.
Real question though. When-ish does the freezing temperatures go away in December a little bit?
I think we've got to get through the first week of December.
Okay, fair enough.
And then after that, we could be in decent shape until the end of the month.
Okay. All righty.
If everything follows through. So let's break this down for you. We've got clearing skies will take place tonight. It's going to be a slow process. It's windy. We're going down to 27. Sunshine on Tuesday, but increasing clouds in the afternoon, 45. Wednesday, clouds, some rain showers developing in the afternoon, a chilly 46 degrees. Wednesday night is wet with periods of rain. Still think there could be a couple of sloppy, wet snowflakes in there Wednesday night, 35. Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, clouds going to sunny skies. It's dry, it's cold, 39 for the high on Thanksgiving. Friday, sunny, 35. For the high temperature, on Friday. Saturday, there is a chance of a little bit of light snow. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not worried about amounts. I'm not worried about how big or anything. And most likely, it's a cold front. Northwest flow probably doesn't have a lot of moisture to work with. 35 for the high on Saturday. 20 degrees Saturday night. High temperature on Sunday with lots of sunshine. The high temperature Sunday, 29 degrees.
Whew.
Okay. The good news is the hurricane season, the Atlantic and Gulf hurricane season, ends on Saturday.
All right. How rare is it to get one past that?
Very rare. It's very rare to get a hurricane in the month of November. I think there's only been really four that have hit the United States. And so very, very rare.
Okay. Headlines, Rach?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. According to a new survey by the Commonwealth Fund, which is a healthcare-focused think tank, one in four Americans are now struggling to cover medical costs. U.S. healthcare costs are among the world's highest, and high out-of-pocket costs are causing one in four adults to struggle. Most people have coverage offered by employers, but their policies don't always provide timely or affordable access to care. And as a result, many Americans don't get needed prescriptions filled and skip ongoing care, causing their health problems to become worse and more costly to treat.
So I'm very fortunate that I don't know the answer to this. Is it pretty common, though, with insurance that if you have like a major procedure, like I fall and I break my hip and it's $100,000, that they'll pay $80,000 and I have to pay $20,000. Is that about typical?
I'm not sure.
Have you learned that?
It depends on your coverage. If you've got, it just kind of depends on coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Because most people, a lot of people can absorb a $20,000 bill, but not many people can absorb it lightly. I mean, that's pretty big deal, right?
That's a huge deal.
And for some people, that's just like, it might as well be $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I ended up getting sued over that one time. Because it was just like, I mean, I can't pay this. I don't know what you want me to do about it.
And that's with insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we ended up getting insurance to step in on our behalf largely, which is how the whole deal got settled. But, I mean, there was just nothing we could do.
Yeah. Do you guys believe that healthcare is a human right or should be a right of every American citizen?
Oh, very much so.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know why it wouldn't be. I mean, what is the point of some of the other rights we have if you can't be healthy and enjoy them? I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The Supreme Court will not hear a challenge to these graphic cigarette warning labels that are to go into effect in December of 2025. So there was a challenge to a federal rule mandating graphic images on cigarette packages and advertising to show the effects of smoking. The court declined to hear the case in a brief order issued today. The decision upholds the requirement for cigarette packages to display these graphic images as a warning to consumers about the dangers of smoking.
See, Rach, you're talking about when I was talking about people who are jerks and a-holes, and you're saying that there are people out there in the media who just talk and 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 talk. That's how I feel about this kind of happy horse crap. It's not going to change one person's behaviors. It's just something that we do to make ourselves feel better, to get elected to office, to stay in elected office. Anyone out there who's smoking cigarettes has either done it for a really long time or they're new to it and they think it's cool. And having a picture of someone with one of those holes drilled in their throat they have to talk to is not going to change their behavior. No. It's just
not even going to see it.
Not even going to see it. They're not going to care.
Go. No.
Devil's advocate. Don't you think that's better than like, hey, here's the camel selling you the cigarettes? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
on one hand, it's
I've never believed in that much either. At least when it comes to cigarettes. I certainly, the Marlboro Man and things like that, it didn't affect me. I was so anti-cigarette that it could have been, you're the coolest guy in the world and women love you, and it wouldn't have mattered at all. For some people, I'm sure it does. But I think it's overblown. You know, like the cartoon camel. I don't know that any kids reach for the cigarettes because of the cartoon camel. Maybe I'm completely wrong on that.
Matt Gaetz is now giving pep talks and holiday wishes on Cameo for around $500 each.
Perfect.
He recently withdrew his nomination for attorney general amid sexual misconduct allegations, and he's using the platform to connect with supporters.
Here's what I don't get. Gaetz isn't an idiot. He's not a complete moron. How did he not see this coming? How do you not do the basic mathematics of this and see that your chances of being attorney general are vanishingly small, that along the road to that, even if successful, all your dirty laundry is going to be laid out for everyone to see? You say you're not coming back to your seat as a representative. How did I don't see why he'd let this happen.
I mean, the only explanation is just arrogance.
He's got over his skis.
And the assumption that they didn't have, you know, yeah, I've done these things or I've been accused of doing these things, but they don't actually have any dirt on me. And then I think somebody with some dirt got to him and said, hey, guess what? We know. Mm-hmm. And then it's time to step away.
If you look at the things that he had apparently been doing and getting away with, and, you know, winning elections and staying in Congress and, you know, with all of these accusations and allegations on the table, he managed to successfully oust McCarthy.
Yeah.
I think he was
feeling
like,
his oats.
I think he was like, apparently I'm untouchable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right.
Patrick Mahomes is being fined more than $14,000 by the NFL for a violent gesture. Unsportsmanlike conduct after he celebrated a touchdown pass with a hand gesture that appeared to imitate him holding a gun.
More now stupidity. More
grand.
Stupidity.
They all do it.
If Who cares?
If you get a first down, I have seen it in every NFL game, every first down, you do like a little finger guns pointing forward, bang.
Catchers do that in baseball all the time. Every time they throw a runner out, they do like the gunslinger thing. Yeah. And again, happy horse crap. Not one person out there is sitting around waiting for Patrick Mahomes to give him a secret signal to go shoot up his school. It's just not happening.
And man, $14,000 for Patrick, that's going to really hurt.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, that's a tip on his luxury suite.
That's the other thing on the fines that they give athletes. Like, they are never significant amounts to them.
I just think it's funny to fine him $14,000 because it's like, you pretended you were holding a gun. I'm sorry, is holding a gun illegal? I thought it was.
I mean, holding a gun at a game would be illegal.
Right, right. But what I'm saying is, like, you had something to do with a gun, so now you have to pay. It's like, well, half the country has absolutely no problem with this. Mm-hmm. The other half doesn't have as big of a problem as you think. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's just one of those weird
virtue
things.
Virtue signaling.
Yeah, it's a strange thing. Donald Trump Jr. and Elon Musk were joking all weekend about purchasing MSNBC. I kept seeing it on Twitter.
Oh, those two.
MSNBC's ratings dropped significantly after Trump's defeat of Vice President Kamala Harris in the 2024 election. There are no immediate plans for a sale, though.
You know, Morning Joe and Mika may have really seen one of the most instant karmas of all time. Like, when they freaked out, and I think that they overly freaked out. I'm not in a position where Trump's ever going to know my name, much less come after me. Maybe if I were, I would feel differently. But the scuttlebutt is that they freaked out so much because Joe is supposed to have killed someone at some point that Trump has given him crap for. And they thought that he was going to come after them for that, that they ran to Mar-a-Lago and seemingly kissed the ring. And it didn't go down well with their people. What a shock. And they've dropped like 30% or something in the ratings. So,
well, just super odd coming from them. I get what you're saying, Dave, but they're the ones telling their people what a horrible person Trump is.
Oh, you know, 100%.
It's not like
they have
it's just
no one
like,
to blame.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
No so one, not Trump.
Just like a kind of an about face going on. And it's like, oh, guess what? We did secretly meet with him.
Yeah.
And it went really well. Like, what do you think the audience is
going to say? And the way they rolled
say?
It out with Mika, where she's like, well, I have a question for you. Why wouldn't we? Well, I've got some pretty good answers.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we?
Yeah. Called him Hitler. That's a pretty good one right there. That's a good answer. Thank you, Dave. We appreciate it.
All righty.
353 DGS. I may not be the smartest or the funniest, but I think I'm probably the most open radio show host. And talk about my anxiety and depression and medication for it. And I was watching TV and one of my medications came up. Oh, okay. Let's see how this goes. They treat this lady like she's a friggin' freak. Like, I'll tell you guys on the break, and I think maybe it's the one where she holds up the little paper face where she's smiling.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah. And, like, her own kid is like, I hope mom doesn't bite my face. and then her mom comes over, and they're having, like, a little family gathering. And the lady doesn't stick Pringles up her butt or something. And the mom's like, oh, she's doing so much better. And then the dog, she's holding the dog. And everyone's like, it'll be okay. She won't kill the dog. It's like, think of your marketing to me.
Yeah.
I'm the person who needs it. Like, don't shame me.
Go get that dog right now. Go get it.
Just approach him. Just like no sudden moves. It'll be okay. If he holds up his little smiley face banner, that's good.
They're like, guess what? You're freaking everyone out. That's why you need our medication.
It is. It is. And I feel, I don't know if I feel bad for the actress who's playing the depressed lady or if she deserves an Oscar or what, because I don't know.
She does seem real depressed in that commercial.
She does. And like, that's okay because it's an ad for an antidepressant. But don't have your own family react like they're frightened of you.